Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Makone Maja. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is about what may be a very short-lived minority government in Gauteng, and that is because Premier of Gauteng, Phanyaza Lesufi, is now attempting to pass a budget. However, the budget he is attempting to pass in Gauteng doesn't look like it's going to be able to get the numbers in order to pass. So, a refresher for those who are unaware, Phanyaza Lesufi was unable to make any kind of agreement with the DA in Gauteng. The DA said that Lesufi was only going to give them, I think it was three MEC positions in the province. And they said that we're almost level with the ANC in terms of vote share, so we should be at least almost level with them in terms of positions. The ANC refused, and in fact, they had some very harsh words for the DA, calling them spoiled and attacking them in public. So the negotiations fell apart, and Lesufi went on to form his cabinet with a collection of smaller parties. However, even if all of the parties in his cabinet vote for him, he will not be able to pass his budget. He needs either the EFF or the DA to help him. Well, his budget doesn't look like it's going to pass because many parts of it have been criticized. Opposition parties attacked his budget for slashing the community safety budget by over 300 million rand. The EFF said the party's caucus would not be voting in favor of the budget. This reduction comes at a time when the crime rate in Gauteng is alarmingly high. How can we justify decreased budget in the face of rising crime, particularly the traffic management program, which has seen a significant cut of 16%, dropping from 2.2 billion to 1.9 billion. This program is crucial for reducing road fatalities and ensuring road safety. The Freedom Front Plus attacked it, saying that it was inadequate. And the DA said they will not be voting for a single budget item of Lesufi's, saying that this was nothing to do with their bitterness over not being included in the governing coalition, but simply due to the fact that the inability of the ANC to moderate or accept other points of view when it came to writing the budget, it was exactly why they refused to make a deal with Lesufi with regards to Gauteng. So, Makone, it does look like it's going to be a little bit difficult, I think, for Lesufi to actually have his government function, because I don't see this budget passing, and if it doesn't pass, well, you know, he's dead in the water. What do you think?
That's exactly right. He's going to have to strike a deal sooner rather than later if his governance is to come about at all. Now, not only were the DA offered 3 out of 10 positions, but according to Helen Zille, these three positions made up 3% of the entire budget, right? So they were severely undermined in those three positions that were being offered to them. I do think that the budget cuts towards safety, although those are material arguments made by the EFF and the DA that you cannot have a city like Johannesburg experiencing high levels of crime being met with budgetary cuts, specifically as it related to community policing and safety and that sort of thing. Those two things do not make sense. But it must also be said that we're coming into the era where coalitions are resulting in party interests being placed above all. And even though the DA's Solim Simang has said that this has nothing to do, their refusal to back any budgetary item being placed in the entire province of Gauteng has nothing to do with bitterness. Surely there are elements of them sticking it to the ANC. If not for anything, possibly to teach them a lesson about their bad faith negotiations, which were clearly on display during the negotiation for the GPU, the Government of Provincial Unity. But also because we saw with that 2.5 billion rand loan that was obtained from the French AFD agency that previously the DA and Action SA had declined to accept the terms of that loan. But as soon as one of them, Action SA, was brought into the fold, they were willing to go ahead with tabling that loan and voting in favor of it. So it does seem like we'll be experiencing now more than ever as a result of coalitions, party interests playing a much bigger role in where they vote, and then maybe voter interest being subservient to that. But I'm not convinced that party interests are excluded entirely from whether or not parties vote with the ANC or not.
So I think really at the end of the day, what's going to have to happen here is the culture of negotiation is going to have to be established all over our politics, whether that be in our parliament, whether that be in the cabinets of the Government of National Unity, whether that be in the provincial governments. And if Lesufi continues to try and blunder on as he has up till now, enjoying supreme, unchecked, unlimited power, his government is not going to function. And I really don't understand what his strategy here is, because the moment he basically allowed the DA to walk away from negotiations by not really offering them much, his entire government, unless he could make some sort of deal with the EFF, which doesn't seem to have been permitted by the national government, and I think also to some degree the EFF is not willing to play ball with him as well in Gauteng, this just means that he's kind of without a plan and without options. So Lesufi, Premier, the ball is in your court, I think. All right, let's move on to our next story. And this is also about a government of provincial unity, but in this case, the one in KwaZulu-Natal, which, remind everyone, is between the ANC, DA, IFP, and NFP. So that's basically everyone except the MK party and the EFF. The Public Works and Infrastructure MEC, Martin Mayer, who's from the DA, kind of announced his entry into the portfolio as being that he said it would be his job to take on the construction mafias. These are people who try to extract essentially extortion money from anyone doing construction projects across the country, particularly in KZN. They're very bad. They're often connected to organized crime. He said, "You can't negotiate with people who want to break the law. It's impossible. Otherwise, I'm happy to sit at a table with anyone whose behavior would be restricted to the confines of law." So he took a very tough line against construction mafias. And, well, it looks like the construction mafias have sent their own message back to him. And now this is still under police investigation, so we don't know a lot of details about it. But there's reporting that a few days ago, just before he's going to meet with some construction business forums, some of whom are accused of being, I think, connected to construction mafias, the MEC found a single bullet in one of the cars that was used to transport him around the place, which could very clearly, I think, be taken as a threat, because it's not clear exactly who placed that bullet there or why. In response to this, Mayor said that he was happy with the security he had been provided and he didn't need more bodyguards. "The matter of the bullet, I can't say too much about it because it's under investigation. When I took this position, I knew the inherent danger that comes with it." The Premier, who's from the IFP, was asked about the bullet incident, but said he would only comment on the matter once the investigation had been concluded. So, Bokonye, I mean, obviously we don't know for sure what happened in this circumstance, but it still does seem very worrying, doesn't it, that this seems to be a threat against a senior public official.
Yeah, there's no other way to interpret a bullet case being found in the vehicle of a minister or a member of an MEC, excuse me, who has made it explicit that he is launching an outright war against extortion and construction mafiosos. I am particularly worried about the level of political violence, escalating political violence in KwaZulu-Natal. Usually when we speak about it, it's when a councillor has been murdered over positions, and we sort of get to experience the violence vicariously through those members of government. But I can only imagine what it's like then to be a businessman in KwaZulu-Natal, or just to be an ordinary resident in these parts of KZN where there's just so much violence. I've read anecdote after anecdote when these stories are broadcast on the news. If anything, earlier this week, Minister McPherson alluded to the story but concealed the name of his colleague, the MEC now, whose name's now been made public, speaking of the story. And in the comments, Nick, you see people, like person after person, coming forth with their own stories about what it's like to operate in the construction industry in KwaZulu-Natal, and that when they previously reported these sort of events to people in government, that they would just advise them to settle the bill, just pay them, and the thing would apparently eventually go away. Now, that's not concrete evidence, but surely, story after story, there must be something. There's no smoke without fire. There must be something to this. And now we're seeing it because a threat has been made against the MEC personally. I am worried. I said to you before this that I was on board with cutting back blue lights and security for security personnel for members of cabinets. But after this, I withdraw entirely. I think that they should, if anything, beef up security, because it cannot mean that to serve this country must be done at the expense of one's own life. I certainly do not support that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit worrying because I suspect that he probably inherited probably a quite significant number of bodyguards from his ANC predecessor. And for someone to be able to do this suggests to me that even with all the bodyguards he probably already has, that security is not being that effective. I think there definitely needs to be a review of these kind of things, because the political assassinations are some of the most corrosive, destructive things that can happen to a body politic. They are extremely poisonous. And this simply can't be tolerated. Construction mafias will never, ever be challenged if anyone who tries to take them on thinks that they're going to be killed. I think I hope that the police and national government as well take this seriously, and that everyone is protected adequately, because this really can't fly.
May I just add, Nick, that we've spoken about the loss of talent, specifically in the civil service, on this show. These are the sort of things over which we lose quality and effective personnel in the government. This is not encouraging. This, I'm sure, motivates all of us, if anything, to stay away and stay out of politics. Because again, if you're a whistleblower or you're an innocent politician who wants to root out corruption, it shouldn't be that it must be at the cost of your life or the life of your loved ones. So again, this must be nipped in the bud as soon as it can be, because we cannot afford to lose any more quality in office.
Exactly. Very good point. Okay, let's move on to something which I thought was kind of hilarious in how pathetic it was. So recently we mentioned on the show that the EFF's regional chairperson in Tshwane, Obakeng Ramabudo, had threatened fellow members of the city council of Tshwane. He said, and I will quote him here, he said that he's craving to mura a bura, that was how he said it, and then looking towards I think it was specifically the Freedom Front Plus benches, he said, "I want the blood of an Afrikaner. I'd be happy to mura a bura. That would be nice. An Afrikaner's blood. I want the blood of an Afrikaner. Bring the blood of an Afrikaner. I want it." Well, of course, this caused a lot of uproar at the time when he said it, and he sort of kind of apologized, sort of, by firstly lying about what he said and then claiming that he felt threatened, which is the only reason he said that. He then went on to elaborate on his claims of how he felt threatened, and he claimed that one of the Freedom Front Plus councillors, specifically, I think Mark Surgeon, was threatening to attack him. Mark Surgeon said that this is rubbish and that he and the Freedom Front Plus people had only responded to the EFF's threats with a sort of acceptance of the challenge, if you like to put it that way, after they were threatened. And I haven't seen the entire footage of the event, but I do think that the chamber is pretty quiet. Let's just say it sounds like when the EFF member makes this initial claim. But what's funny to me about this story, and what makes it even more pathetic, apart from the sort of pathetic threat of violence, was that Ramabudo has kind of reversed course entirely and said, no, this wasn't meant to hurt any community. And let me quote directly. "It was not meant to hurt any community. It was meant to respond to an individual. And if there's any community of Afrikaner that is angry or is hurt about what I've said, I'm apologizing unconditionally. It was not meant for that, and it will never be like that. We want to fight for a united South Africa and make sure we fight racism until the end. So it must not be seen as if we're trying to create racial tensions. Now, that's a fine sentiment. I don't think it's very credible coming from him. But what's interesting to me, McCorner, about this is that it suggests that even for the EFF, being too much to seen, being seen to stoke the fires of racial division and hatred in this country is not popular with voters. And I think he could see this, this was going to backfire on him completely. And so he's now desperately trying to reverse course. I mean, his defense here, however, is that, no, I was only threatening political violence against one of my opponents. I wasn't trying to be racist, which is not really much of a defense. But what do you make of this story?
Not much of a defense at all. I don't think, Nick, it's lost on the public that the EFF's way of erasing or eradicating racism is by escalating racial tensions and stoking racial tensions and then running for cover and pretending that that is not at all its intentions, when they will explicitly say that they are after this community or that community. I hate, honestly, to see public discourse in official spaces being reduced to this. I'm also going to call out the responses by Mark Surgeon, the person against whom these threats were levied, because I've observed in Parliament when the EFF makes these threats and when the people who are receiving these threats respond and try to engage and meet the EFF where it is. I've even seen it with somebody like Pieter Groenewald, the Minister of Correctional Services now, trying to be sassy back to the EFF, that you cannot win, right? They will never outsmart you at making personal attacks or personal insults. And I just hate it when the back and forth diminishes to this school grounds, grade seven, schoolboy, after school is after school level of public discourse. I absolutely detest it. And I would like to see it rooted out from all public spaces. I don't expect to see the EFF changing, because again, that's what they're known for, right? But I do expect that those who know better would respond as such. Was that too much to ask for?
You know what's something I'd really like to see on this front as well, in terms of violence and breaking the decorum of our discussion spaces, is that I will remind everyone that former councillor Andile Lungisa smashed a heavy glass jar over the head of a DA councillor in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Council a couple of years ago, and was sentenced to prison. And then he got out surprisingly quickly on parole for that. And he was then elected in the 11th place to the NEC, National Executive Committee of the ANC. So you know what I would like to see? That the next ANC-NEC, that they throw him off, because that is a disgrace. And it is exactly the kind of thing that legitimizes this sort of breakdown of decorum. And if we're all just going to have a big old fight in Parliament, then, you know, what's the point of this whole democracy thing? It's completely ridiculous.
Good old effective consequence management, which has been missing from parties themselves, right? Certainly the EFF, the ANC. And I think the DA is kind of coming to crossheads with it now with this Reynaldo Hose thing, but disciplinary action is underway and we'll see what happens there. But I absolutely agree with you that parties are responsible for enabling the sort of behavior by, as we've seen with Lungisa, promoting such individuals instead of holding them and holding their feet to the fire and keeping those sort of people away from public, certainly public office.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.